Hey, everyone. Thank you very much, Lauren. 607 on WGN. Your Money Matters coming up. You heard Lisa Dent mention, I got my identity stolen. Yes, got a letter in the mail. I thought it was fake. Turns out it wasn't. But the folks at the BBB helped me out, and it turns out there are ways to protect yourself that are actually pretty easy. I was pretty pleased about it, but we're going to talk through that. Also going to continue our tour of your hometown, my hometown of Downers Grove, with a conversation about a great place that does live music. What's the live music scene like in Downers Grove and beyond as we get out of the pandemic? All that coming up on Your Money Matters here on WGN.
Hey, everyone. John Hansen. We got a great show for you today, and we're continuing our tour of your hometown, Downers Grove. And this one's personal for me because that is my hometown. We've been doing the Your Hometown series. I've been hosting those videos that you might have gotten a chance to see at WGNradio.com or on our social media pages. And in the 15th month, they picked my hometown, and I had a thrilling time going back to Downers Grove, visiting. I even paid my mom a visit out there as well, and visited the schools I went to and a lot of the businesses. And we're going to continue your hometown a little bit later in the show, chatting with a Downers Grove native who helps create live music at certain venues and things that are going on and what's happening over there and what people can do to get involved in Downers Grove. We'll get to that a little bit later on, and we'll talk about my identity being stolen a little later on too with Steve Burness from the BBB. But a couple big local stories first. Don't know if you saw this. Chicago Fire, the team, and the Park District are clashing over Soldier Field sponsorship rights. It's a feud, a battle breaking out involving the teams, putting a spotlight on the city's priorities for the Lakefront Stadium. It could shape the future of both teams at the venues. We'll keep you posted on if they're able to come to an agreement. And as we take a look at fine dining at the airport, well, Bar Sienna among the restaurants that could be coming to O'Hare. Mayor Lightfoot introducing an ordinance at the city council asking approval to bring the West Loop Italian restaurant and other Chicago brands like Sparrow Coffee, which is a favorite of Michelin-starred chefs, to the airport. When I'm at the airport, I just grab McDonald's and go. I don't sit down for fine dining. These are great establishments. I don't know what you like to do at the airport. Let me know. 312-981-7200. But hey, love to see local spots that have done big in our neighborhoods. Give them another spot at the airport. Sounds good to me. Is a recession on the way? Former CEO of City Wealth Management in an interview with Yahoo Finance talked about that. Her name is Sally Krawcheck. She discussed those possibilities at Yahoo Finance.
You know, the market is so often wrong, but is the best we've got, right? The market is, you know, the points of view of traders upon traders upon traders upon portfolio managers upon individual investors upon mutual fund managers. And it's the best view of what is out there and what's going to happen. Sure, a recession's on the way. I don't know when. Nobody knows when. You know, inflation will go up at some point, down at some point. That's why a diversified portfolio is what matters, because, you know, the number of active managers who correctly call this stuff consistently, you and I both know, is a tiny single digit percent.
I like what she said about, yes, a recession's on the way, not because I want to see a recession, but it does bring up the point, as we've had guests talking on about the prospect of one coming. Well, of course, a recession is coming at some point. We can't live without having recessions here and there. But the idea of trying to predict one is getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. And the people that say they know it for sure, I know that people are in the prediction business, and that's their job to do that. But I just wanted to play that little clip for us just to kind of calm us down here and realize nobody's got a crystal ball. All right, we'll talk about how to keep your identity from being stolen like mine. But I do have a question of the day today. 312-981-7200. We'll get a chance at a first guess after the break. Here's the question. In the early 1980s, 60% of working Americans had this. Now it's 4%. What did 60% of working Americans have in the early 80s that now only 4% of working Americans have? Got a guess? 312-981-7200. We'll get to a couple of those guesses after the break and then our guest. But first, a look at weather and traffic with Mary Vandeveld. I'm okay, folks. Don't worry about that. But I'm going to help protect you. But let's try and get an answer to the question of the day. In the early 1980s, 60% of workers had this. 60. Now it's about 4%. Let's go to Janet. Janet, you're on WGN. Hey, Janet.
Hi.
What's your guess?
Is it a my guess is it a pager?
I don't even know if 4% of people have pagers anymore, but I guess maybe doctors and nurses still, I don't know. It's a great guess. I bet those numbers line up. It's just not the answer I'm looking for, Janet. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Let's go to Fran. Fran, you're on WGN.
Is it a BlackBerry phone?
I don't think BlackBerries were there in the early 80s. I think that was a little later, but you're thinking there. I love the way you're thinking, Fran. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
All right. 312-981-7200 if you got a guess. Let's go to Steve Burness from the BBB. Steve, I had to call you personally. I never thought I would have to do that, but I sent you an email because I was worried about something. I thought it was a scam, and you told me that unfortunately it looks like I was the victim of identity theft, and you told me something, I don't know whether it's comforting or alarming, that I guess it was just my time, huh?
It's just your time. Thank you for having me today, John. I appreciate it. It's really not a matter of if. It's a matter of when a consumer will become a victim of identity theft. You know, as I mentioned to you, John, I've been a victim of identity theft. And so if I can't prevent it and stop it, it's going to be hard for others to stop it as well. And previous Attorney General Lisa Madigan was a victim of identity theft years ago, too. So it's going around, and we had a lot of new victims this year, John, after the pandemic, rather. They were stealing their identities and filing those workman compensation plans. And a lot of our friends and other, WGN radio, employees had their identity stolen last year as well. So it's really increasing. And it's still, John, the fastest growing white collar crime today. So I think consumers need to be educated about this and protect themselves as best they possibly could.
Yeah, we should start a club. 312-981-7200. Text or call me if you can start an identity theft club. So here's what happened. I got a letter from Pingora Loan Servicing, a company I'd never heard of, a place that I never knew I had a loan or a service loan with, that said, "Dear John Hanson, Pingora Loan Servicing understands the importance of protecting information, blah, blah, blah. On these dates, it looks like we were hacked or something." And then it says, "We've identified that, yes, yours was one of those accounts that was hacked." And Steve, I don't know if it's just a sign of the times. I got this letter and I said, it's probably a scam, right? And don't a lot of people think that now? I mean, our guard is so up.
They do, John. They think it's, the guard is up on it, and everything is a scam and every email you get. But you need to do the due diligence, and I'm glad you called me, John, personally. But we want consumers to call the Better Business Bureau. We've been doing this, for almost 100 years of helping consumers, and we want to provide education. And I think if the consumers know what to look out for ahead of time, if, for example, you need to get your annual credit report yearly, regardless if you have credit or not, or use credit cards, because that's usually, John, the first way that you're indicated that you've been a victim of identity theft is looking at your credit report and seeing if something's open in your name. And now it's about every 14 seconds there's an identity theft occurring in the U.S. today, and that's alarming numbers. But a lot don't report it, John.
Right.
It really it's the small ones, and they don't report it, and they get away with it. And then, unfortunately, the numbers are really not what they should be.
So don't give me too much credit, though, Steve, because I didn't think to email you first. I Googled it first, and I found a lot of people were wondering whether this was real or not. And a lot of people, through various forums or Reddit or whatever, were like, it's a scam. And the letter was a scam because they were offering me like credit monitoring for a year. They're like, "We'll pay for a year of credit monitoring. Here's where you do to sign up." And I'm like, "Well, that's the scam. They want me to go to this website, and I've never heard of this credit monitoring service. I Googled them, and there was a website, but I don't know. It seemed a little off to me." So I did nothing for a couple days. And if you're not active and you're not your best line of defense, if you were like me the first few days and almost threw the letter away, that's how you get in trouble, right?
It is exactly how you get in trouble. And if you don't pay attention to your bank accounts and see that dollar charge on your bank account, or $10 a month, it's usually people find out years later, John. And then when they end up buying a home or buying a car or something, they realize they don't have any credit or credit's denied. And they, why? Well, you took out a loan 10 years ago, 5 years ago. No, that's not me. So it takes you, sometimes it can take a year, it can take 2 years to you clean up your credit report after you've been a victim of identity theft, depending on how serious it is. But yes, John, there's a lot of websites out there, and consumers don't know where to turn to. And one obviously you could turn to is the Better Business Bureau. We did the research. I mean, we know where to look and where to find information for consumers. And that's our main goal at the Better Business Bureau, is to educate consumers before doing business with a company, not after. because sometimes it's too late. The money's gone or your identity's stolen.
Right. Well, it really helps to have you in my email contact list, Steve.
That's true.
So you responded to me and you said the first things first, that yes, I should take them up on doing this free. You know, they're offering it for free. That's great. Okay, it's legit to monitor what's going on. But then you said to freeze my credit reports. And I think I emailed back like, should I do that right now? And then I said, what am I doing? Yes, get on this right now. And I know there's the three major ones, and I thought this is going to be such a hassle. Well, Steve, I was pleasantly surprised, and I want people to look into this so that they know how to do this. It was actually really easy to do. I don't know if they've just gotten so good at it because so many people have to freeze their credit reports at some time. But each of the websites for the three major ones, it was really simple. They made it easy. I, you know, was given PIN numbers if I ever, you know, when I need to unlock it. So what is that what people should do? Go to those websites of the three major ones and hit that freeze button?
Exactly. Hit the freeze button, freeze your credit. And basically, it scares consumers. Well, I don't want to freeze my credit. I want to buy something. You can unfreeze your credit at any time. It just basically will not prevent you from being a victim of identity theft. It'll help deter some of the ones that are against you. So it'll be harder for you to open up a credit card if you didn't unfreeze it. You couldn't go to a store and try to open a credit card. But yes, it's pretty simple. It's free of charge now. Years ago, they used to charge for it.
Ugh.
And the government stepped in and said it's free now. But I want consumers to remember that about a million children's IDs are stolen a year as well. So you have to check your children's ID. And consumers don't think about that because they don't have identity. They don't have identity. They don't have information, but unfortunately, sometimes the scammers will do that, and sometimes your family members will steal identity of other family members too. So you got to check those your credit report. It's the safest way, and there's one site. You don't have to listen to all those bells and whistles, those commercials. AnnualCreditReport.com, and that's the one that is officially registered with the government to put together help with the government putting your credit report free of charge. And again, annualcreditreport.com.
Yeah. And I went ahead and opened one of them because you're entitled to open each one of them for free once a year, right? So you can do all three at once if you want, or you can spread them out over every couple months, right? Am I wrong on that?
Well, they actually modified it recently because there's so many IDs, thefts going around, rather. They actually can get it more often than before. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but it's now it's more than you could before.
Yeah. Steve, I feel like we're just scratching the surface, so I hate to ask you this live on the air because I feel like you're going to be obligated to say yes. Can you stick around a little bit longer after the news?
I would love to, John. Thank you.
Yeah, as he glares over, as he has to change his dinner plans.
I'm in Phoenix. Everything's good.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right. Well, we're going to put Steve on hold because we're going to get some questions as well. 312-981-7200. People holding for the question of the day. I'm sorry. We will get to you. We do have to take a break, and then we're going to have the news here on 720 WGN. But we are helping people make sure that they don't get their identity stolen, or if they do, what to do. Why am I clapping so much? We'll figure that out after the break and the news on WGN. Hey, I got my identity stolen. Woohoo! I get to join a club with 1.4 million people that happened to last year. Steve, that's the number, right? $1.4 million. Steve Burness from the BBB.
You're correct. It's 2.8 million claims, but $1.4 million. You're right.
All right. Hey, can you, Steve Burness is so graciously holding on. We do have some questions, but I do want to clear up the lines a little bit. And we have so many people calling in for question of the day that I want to get a couple more guesses in really quickly. In the 1980s, the early 1980s, 60% of workers had this. Now it's 4%. Let's go to Chuck. Chuck, you're on WGN. Hey, Chuck.
How are you?
Good. What's your guess?
Savings accounts.
Savings accounts. Great guess. Just not the answer. I'm sorry, Chuck.
That's all right. I love listening to you. It's great on the way home.
I appreciate it. Hey, that's very nice, Chuck. I appreciate that. Let's go to Beth. Hey, Beth, you're on WGN.
Hi. My guess is a calculator.
That's a great guess. Going with the technology. Just not the answer to the question of the day. I'm so sorry, Beth.
Oh, well, thank you anyway.
Yeah, great. Thanks. Good guess. Let's go to Charlie. Hey, Charlie, you're on WGN.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. What's your guess, my friend?
I'm guessing manufacturing jobs.
Ooh, yeah. Boy, have we lost a lot of manufacturing jobs over the last 40 years. I wonder what the stats are. It's not the answer to the question of the day, Charlie. I'm sorry. But I bet it wasn't in the 60s. Maybe I'm wrong there. Maybe it was. But certainly that 4% sounds
probably
about right.
Right.
Great guess, though, Charlie.
Okay.
That's a good one. All right, Steve Burness, let's continue our conversation. And actually, Radian, if you don't mind locking Steve in, this time I don't hang up on him when I take another phone call. Steve, thanks for rolling with
that
punch.
That's right, John.
You stuck around
for an extra... change for the payphone.
Stuck around for 10 minutes and I hung up on you. Okay, we actually have a call from someone who is going through something that I bet you guys are going to have an answer for. Let's get David on the line. Hey, David, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine today.
Good. What's your conundrum?
A few days back, I received a letter from the IRS stating that somebody filed for a return on my account, and I don't even do taxes.
Oh, wow. So you don't even file taxes?
No, I don't file taxes, and I try to call them, and you know what that is.
Calling the IRS. Yeah, that's
unbelievable, yeah.
So you're wondering if it's a scam or if it's a real thing?
I think it might be a scam because about a year ago or so, I have a reverse mortgage, and this company, I was talking to them, Champion Mortgage, I was talking to them on the phone, and he said, give me your Social Security number, and I didn't want to do it.
Oh, no, yeah.
You know that you're not supposed to do that, but he had me over a barrel, so I did eventually give it to him. I even asked him, is there some other proof that I could give you instead, you know?
So you think it might have been a scam through that? Well,
I think it might have been one of that company is very, very crooked.
Right. Well, David, thanks. You hang on there. Steve, that's a tough one, right? Because people do file taxes in other people's names, right, Steve?
Yeah, it's a big problem, according to IRS. It happens all the time, and that's why they suggest, and we suggest, you file early to prevent this from happening to you. But as David said, the only way to figure this out is you got to contact the IRS, because they do send letters in the mail. They don't call you and tell you, ask you for information, but they do send letters, and they ask you to contact them. So if it doesn't work through the mail, I suggest you write to the IRS directly and get information from them. But he could be a victim of identity theft. Regardless if he files tax or not, somebody else may have filed on his behalf, and therefore, he's a victim of identity theft, and it may take a couple of years to unclear this matter. So it's up to him what he wants to do, but you got to determine if that's legitimate. And like you said, John, earlier, it's like sometimes you don't believe
right. The
emails and the letters you're getting, not because the scams are proliferating everywhere.
Yeah, David, my heart is with you because I feel the same way. I think it's a scam in the initial set. Now, I know you haven't gotten an answer from the IRS because you tried calling. Stephen
right.
Leahy says that only 1 out of 9 calls gets answered, and I think it sounds like 1 out of 90 is what it feels like. So, David.
Yeah, I tried the different numbers. I went to the library because I don't have the internet on my computer, but I do have my phone with the internet on it. I tried that, and I didn't see anything about writing to them.
Yeah.
You know, that I would do that if I could do that.
Steve, yeah, so you could write a letter to the IRS and keep calling, David.
Go to irs.gov, and you can find information on there and what the numbers are to reach out to the IRS directly. But key in the numbers yourself. Don't go follow links. That's the key.
Yeah, go to the library. Go to irs.gov, David, when you have some time. Get an address. And just keep on calling. I just don't want you to think it's a scam, and then you're a victim of identity theft. It may well be, but look into it a little bit more, David, even if it's a hassle, okay?
Yeah, I think it must be identity theft.
Yeah, maybe.
Like I said, it's just too much of a coincidence that guy asked me for that.
Yeah, and then
number.
Yeah, you never know. All right, David, I got to get to another question. Okay, thanks so much, David. Oh. All right, sorry, I didn't mean to hang up there on David, but I've been doing that today. Steve, we got one more question.
Hung up on me?
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Hung up on the guest. So, you know that happens. We got a great question from someone about freezing accounts, and they said they asked for you to give your Social Security number, and I sat there on the computer too, a little bit like, ugh, but. I imagine that's what they need to do to ascertain whether it's really you. And then there were some follow-up questions, too, to make sure it was me. So that's safe, right, with those three accredited credit companies?
Exactly. If you go to the site, it's yourself direct, so annualcreditreport.com. Don't go by clicking on any other links, getting you there, or listening to those TV commercials, you know, playing those songs. You know, we can help you. Go to annualcreditreport.com. They do ask your Social Security number, but they do ask corresponding questions, too, to make sure it's you. So they'll ask you a previous street or previous information about yourself, but it's simple, it's safe if you go to that site directly.
Yeah, and the Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, if you find
correct.
The phone numbers for those, I'll post this little link, a helpful little guide. I'll post it on my Facebook page. Steve, where can people reach out to you guys if they have questions and they want to know and they're just so confused?
Well, the best way to reach us is obviously BBB.org. We want consumers to come to us first. You know, we always want consumers to look for the BBB seal. It's a sign of a better business, and you can find a better business at any time at BBB.org.
Steve, thanks for holding on. Thanks for dealing with me hanging up on you. We'll talk again soon, okay?
My pleasure, John. Thank you.
Oh, and thanks for personally telling me I was a victim of identity theft. Have a good one, Steve.
Take care.
All right. Let's get a look at weather and traffic. Hey, Mary. The last 10 minutes, we're going to focus on Donner's Grove in just one moment, but we're trying to get an answer to the question of the day. In the early 80s, 60% of Americans had this. Now it's 4%. Let's go to Mel. Mel, you're on WGN. Hey, Mel. Mel, you there? Okay, let me try here one more time. Mel, you hear me? Hey, Mel.
Hey, hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. What's your guess, my friend?
Oh, boy, oh, boy. 4% of us have land phones.
Yeah, those numbers line up. I bet more than 60 had landlines, though, in the 80s. Great guess, just not the answer to the question of the day. Let's go to Eddie. Hey, Eddie.
Hi, John.
What's your guess?
My guess is union representation.
Yeah, right? The fall of the unions. I think the latest numbers I saw for workers in a union was around 14%, not 4%.
Okay.
We're actually going to talk about the rise in unions over the last year or so in a show next week. It's not the answer to the question of the day, though, Eddie. I'm sorry.
Very good. Thank you.
Let's go to Bill. Hey, Bill, you're on WGN. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
What's your guess, my friend?
I think the answer is a pension.
A pension is the answer to the question of the day. Yes, in the early 80s, 60% of all workers had a pension with their company, and they stayed with their company for 30 or 40 years, and that's just not the way it works anymore. A lot of 401ks, a lot of traveling ones, but not dedicated pensions. Bill, congratulations. You're the winner. You'll get a T-shirt. Stay on the line, okay?
Thank you.
All right, there we go. If you don't mind putting Bill on hold for us there, Iridian, so I can get Dave Humphreys on the line as we continue our tour of your hometown, which actually happens to be my hometown. Dave Humphreys, longtime resident. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing great, John.
And I was reading your bio and all you do, and you are co-founder of Two-Way Street Coffee House. And I looked that up, and I'm like, that sounds familiar. And it is in the First Congressional Church, and that's where I went to preschool, Dave.
Well, yeah, that's the First Congregational Church in Donner's Grove. It's the United Church of Christ, and that preschool started in back in the 60s, and it's been going ever since, and it's still going strong. We got 65 kids in there every day and a waiting list of about 20, so...
Yeah, I gotta find my picture from it. It had to be 1986 or 7. How come I'm not in the Hall of Fame there, Dave, for the preschool? No, I'm just kidding. Let's talk about the Two-Way Street Coffee House. Tell us about it.
Well, the Two-Way Street is it's kind of a throwback to an earlier time, but it actually was founded in 1970. I was a kid right out of college, and I had enjoyed a place, kind of a beatnik kind of coffee house when I was in college. And I had that idea in my head. And at the same time, there was a lot of unrest in the community and in the country, really, because of the Vietnam situation. And anytime anybody saw a couple of kids on a street corner, they got nervous. And when I say kids, I mean like young adults,
right,
and so forth. And so we started this place for them, targeted at that age group, and try to give them a place where they can hang out and not be watched too closely, but just have a place where they can kind of belong. But there was always music as a part of that, too. Over the years, the music persisted. Other agencies picked up some of the other stuff, but the music persisted, and now it's still going strong. And even during the pandemic, they have concerts, world-class concerts with singer-songwriters and folk singers and so forth from around the country and around the world that come to Downers Grove and give concerts. And now that the pandemic's lightening up, they're doing live concerts again, but they still stream. They've got a website at twowaystreet.org, and so they stream every Friday night.
Oh, that's great. Sounds like a really great way to get involved in the community. I imagine bringing people together, that's a very Downers Grove thing.
Yeah, well, it is. Downers Grove is kind of, it truly is community, you know. I'm a member of the Rotary Club, and we have a slogan that says it's all about community, because... It truly is, and it's it's gotten big and it's part of the Chicago megalopolis, but there's still a little bit of a hometown flavor to it, even though we've got over 50,000 people here now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And music, you said, has always been part of your life, and that comes a lot apart from your mother, right?
Well, yeah, my mother couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, but but she loved music. And yeah, there's a joke in the family that says when I was a little kid, she was singing me a lullaby, and I took off one of my socks and stuck it in her mouth. But that's just a family legend. But yeah, she was a music enabler, and she taught me to do that. She helped other people make music and helped other musical organizations, and that's kind of what I've done a good part of my life too. Although I was a musician myself, paid my way through college doing that. But since then, I've done more production, music yeah. production. I do concerts and festivals around North America.
That's great.
And still do one in my hometown in Downers Grove. I don't get paid for this one, but it's still my favorite.
Right.
Dave, it's Rotary Grove Fest.
Oh, what is that? What is the next one?
It is June of this, a couple of months away, just in June, June 23rd through 26th in downtown Downers Grove. There are four nights of music on the big stage, and there's street fair and car show and amusement rides and all kinds of good, fun things in a beer garden. And all the music on the book on the right. On the main stage, I get a chance to book those, so that's a lot of fun.
All right, Dave, I hate to put you on the spot here. You got the elevator pitch. We got 30 seconds left in the show. Why should someone move their business? Why should someone move their money, their lives, to Downers Grove if they're considering?
Well, I think Downers Grove, it is really all about community. We've got great schools. We have a terrific public library. Our downtown is vibrant. Right now, as we speak, there are 300 people doing a wine walk in downtown Downers Grove.
Yep.
On a Thursday night. It's just a great place to go. All kinds of wonderful community events in the 12 months of the year. There's fun things to do both indoors and outdoors. If you can't tell it yet, I'm a big cheerleader for Downers Grove. I've lived here all my life. I'm not on the payroll, but I love this town.
Dave Humphreys, I grew up there. I couldn't have picked a better place to grow up. Thanks for your time, Dave, and being a great ambassador, okay?
Thank you, John.
Have a good one. All right, your hometown rolls on with the John Landecker Show after this on 720 WGN.